President Trump, leaving the White House this morning, said he thinks Republicans are ready for what he calls some meaningful gun control measures, including tougher background checks on gun sales. And he says he's spoken with the National Rifle Association leaders about it.
And I really believe that the NRA, I've spoken to them numerous times, they're really good people. They're great patriots. They love our country. They love our country so much. And frankly, I really think they're going to get there also.
Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Margaret Tolove, incoming politics and White House editor at Axios in Washington. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Tanya.
And Enrique Acevedo is with us as well, anchor at Univision in Miami. Hi, Enrique.
Hi, everyone.
So let's talk about what President Trump just said there. It does sound, Margaret, like maybe we're at a moment when something will actually be able to get through Congress, something meaningful on gun control. Is that your sense?
Well, Jeremy, if you just take the president at face value, it certainly sounds like a turning point. But again, I think everyone is sort of proceeding with caution because it's President Trump. And very often he's made suggestions that something's going to happen and then, backs away or time passes. So there are several weeks, really about a month until Congress is back and running. But again, if you just look at what he said, he himself said that he believes that things have changed, that the Senate has changed, that their willingness to act has changed. And we began to see him in his comments there at the departure trying to reframe the debate as rather than being one about gun rights to being one about mental health issues and public safety. Mm-hmm.
Margaret and Enrique, let's listen to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who told WHAS Radio yesterday that senators, when they reconvene in September, they will be discussing these red flag laws and tougher gun sale background checks, even an assault weapons ban that Republicans have long opposed.
It's certainly one of the front and center issues. I think a lot of other things will come up as well. But what we can't do is fail to pass something.
Well, Margaret, as you mentioned, there have been stalls. There was House Resolution 8, the bipartisan background check of 2019, back in February. What do you think can pass this time around?
Well, there's some evidence that Republicans are waiting for the president to take their cues from him. And so I think, you know, it certainly doesn't sound like President Trump is willing to support much beyond background checks. Like, there's talk among some Democrats about the assault weapons ban and bringing that back. It doesn't sound like the president is talking about that at all. When you listen to his comments there at the departure, he's talking about some kind of background checks, did not define really what he's talking about. Also, a federal imprint on this red flag laws in individual states where you can sort of a family member or someone close to someone they're concerned about can flag those concerns, you know, for law enforcement. And then the president also mentioned something about ending the expungement of, records for basically high school students who, when they turn 18, you could be a student. Your teachers could have a lot of concerns about your mental health or potential violence. And then when you turn 18, those could go away. So this seems to be the world that we're talking about. But it's very important to understand, Republicans are waiting to take their cues from the president. And it's one thing for the president to talk about. It's another thing for the White House to produce a package of suggested legislation to say, this is what the president wants, this is what he wants you to come back and vote on in September. And we don't have any of those details at this point.
And by the way, Enrique, Chuck Schumer, the Senate minority leader, is already saying that if the president needs the NRA's blessing to get something through, then nothing significant will happen. What are your thoughts as you look at all this?
Well, I think that public opinion is changing and there's more pressure on politicians to do something like we saw in Ohio last week. But the elephant in the room in this discussion is that most of the things that are being talked about in Washington wouldn't have prevented what happened in El Paso, what happened in Dayton, what's been happening in this country for the past decade. So I think activism has to, intensify and people need at a local level and a national level to tell their politicians they need action that's more ambitious on gun control, common sense gun laws that not only deal with the fact that it's sometimes very easy for people who shouldn't have a gun to get one, but that there are more guns than people in this country. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's going to get in the way of any effort that, to try to reduce the violence. And also, as border towns like El Paso become the epicenter of the nation's divisive parlay over culture and immigration, the so-called demographic anxieties are being replaced by bullets. And, you know, President Trump may have not pulled the trigger, but he was pointing at the target. We need to stop this rhetoric of hate and division, which is also fueling the type of violence that most Americans are denouncing.
Enrique, let's talk a little bit more about that rhetoric. This week, President Trump was greeted by protesters in Dayton and El Paso who blamed him, as you said, for creating a political environment that fosters hate. And just this morning on the White House lawn, he said he condemned all hate, and he kind of listed some names of some hate groups. Do you feel that this could be a turning point for him politically? We just read that his approval rating has gone up 10% since 2018, though it's still below 50%. Although there is sentiment there, people upset about the rhetoric. Do you think that this could be a turning point?
I think we're all expecting more from our president in terms of leadership. The photo ops with the orphaned baby, the way he conducted himself during the past few days, I don't think it's helping national unity and reconciliation, which is what we all need at this point. You know, El Paso represents the changing face of an America that embraces diversity as a strength. The border, the Walmart store where the attack took place, they're all part of a daily social experiment in which immigration defines national identity instead of threatening it. And that's what America really is. Immigration in America does not threaten national identity. It should define it. And we want to hear the president get behind that idea and I guess, strike a more compassionate tone.
Well, but you've got many of the people who would like to replace him in the election next year calling him a white supremacist. That includes Elizabeth Warren, Beto O'Rourke, Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, although not Joe Biden. Listen.
I believe everything the president says and has done encourages white supremacists. And I'm not sure there's much of a distinction. As a matter of fact, it may be even worse. In fact, if you're out there trying to, in fact, curry the favor of white supremacists or any group that, in fact, is anathema to everything we believe.
Margaret, it seems like this has almost become a litmus test now for the Democratic candidates to say whether they think the president is a white supremacist.
You know, it's a very interesting litmus test of it is that because on some level it is a primary versus general election strategy. I mean, President Trump is counting on the fact that there are going to be voters who think that Democrats who are calling him a racist or a white supremacist have gone so far that, you know, that it diminishes them. And it appears that what Joe Biden is trying to avoid is kind of falling into, that rut that you condemn the action and that's enough. But there are, of course, those voters inside the Democratic Party who say, you know, why are you dancing around the language? Mm-hmm. Who, you know, why are you trying to be so careful, with what the president's feelings are ascribing motives to the president? So it has become a litmus test, but Biden is trying to walk back the notion that it should be one. And I think Kamala Harris has been a little bit careful also.
Right. She has not used the words to describe the president.
Yeah. I mean, I think and in both of their thinking is that it's obviously they're not fans of the president. They don't think that the way he's dealt with these issues or using immigration as a wedge issue or to rally the base, they don't support those things and they've condemned him for it. But there's actually a video clip where the former vice president goes after a reporter and basically says, I know what you're trying to get me to say. Why are you trying to get me to say it? Stop trying to get me to say it. I'm telling you that I disagree with his actions. Stop trying to get me to say that word.
Margaret, your news organization, Axios, reports that white supremacists, this accusation actually fires up Trump's base and turns this Main Street Republicans, it could hurt Democrats. What do you actually think about that, that all of this talk is actually firing up his base?
Well, that is what the president's counting on. But there are some states and some parts of the country where we know that that doesn't work. And so for the president, you know, there's this question, again, of energizing the base versus holding suburban Republicans. And that is really a fundamental concern, maybe to some extent for the for the president's election results, but certainly for a key group of senators who are standing for re-election in 2020. And for the president, why this matters is because, let's say somehow that he were to get re-elected, but Republicans were to lose control of the Senate, he would be in a world of hurt going forward.
Just in the few seconds we have left here, Enrique, big raid this week in Mississippi, hundreds of undocumented workers arrested. Is that a game changer?
Well, we've been talking about this for a few months, Jeremy, and you know, people may not want to accept it, but the Hispanic community, Hispanic America, is under attack. This happened only a few days after Mexican Americans, mostly Mexican Americans, were under attack in El Paso.
Right.
And now the raids separating families.
That is Enrique Acevedo from Univision and Margaret Tolove, incoming at Axios. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.